Welcome to the Lifehouse Message Podcast. Please make sure to follow or subscribe to this so that you can get all the latest messages. We hope that you are inspired, empowered, and encouraged by the message today. Let's enjoy.
Well, hey church, my name's Richard from Lifehouse here in Hong Kong, and I'm really excited to be able to continue on with our series about God's healing power. We've heard already about God being our healer. We've heard that He can heal our bodies, but today I want to talk about our minds because God wants to heal our minds. So let me pray and then we'll get into it. Lord, we thank You for this moment together. I pray You'd speak to us. I pray You'd touch us. I pray Your supernatural presence would be with us wherever we are. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to ask you a question. How's your thought life? How is your thought life? What do you think about? Do you ever just like have one of those weird thoughts and you're just like, huh? Like you're just going about your normal day and you have a weird thought. Maybe you have a silly thought. Okay, I had a lot of silly thoughts growing up and I had a lot more silly thoughts when I was a teenager. I remember when I was on a bus on our way to a youth camp in Australia and I was with my teenage friends and I had a friend and he had a silly thought. There was a window of the bus and the bus window only opened like this much and he said, I bet I could fit my head through that window. And so of course, he gets there and we're all egging him on as, you know, teenage boys would do because we want to see our friend make a fool of himself. And he squeezes his head through this window and it's all fun until he has to get his head back out. And the problem was he had ears, okay? And he went in easily and came out very difficultly. And it took a long time to get my friend's head out of the bus window. That was a silly thought that he had. And I think we have thoughts all the time that kind of come in. Some people call them intrusive thoughts or whatever it is. Bad thoughts, they can come to us at any moment. In fact, I've found sometimes even, hey, I might be in the middle of a church service. I might be in the middle of doing something good and I get a bad thought. Maybe it's a bad thought about what someone did to me and it reminds me of the past and it reminds me that I'm angry or something. Or maybe it's a bad thought of I'm just not very good or I'm not good enough or something like this. We can have these bad thoughts all the time. No one is immune from bad thoughts. And the reason is because there's actually a battle going on for our minds. There is a battle going on for our thinking. And Proverbs 23, verse 7 says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." And this word heart doesn't actually just mean heart. In fact, in the Bible, many times it's translated as the word mind. So in other words, as you think, so you are. Your thinking is who you are. And if the devil can have any influence over our thinking, then he can influence our actions and the rest of our life. Because every bad action starts off in a bad thought. Bad thoughts become bad actions. Bad actions become bad habits and bad patterns. And bad patterns really become who we are. And so there is a battle going on for our minds. And it might just be a silly thought. It might be a bad thought. It might be even something more serious like mind issues or mental illness, which is obviously a very hot topic today in the world with things like social media saying that social media has made mental health like a real challenge in the world today, especially among young people. We've got to understand we are in a war for our minds. But good news, we got Jesus, we are overcomers, and we can have victory and God can heal our minds. So we're going to go into a story. It's kind of a crazy story. It's a little bit heavy at times, but has a really beautiful and graceful ending. And it's about a sad man who had mind problems. And Jesus was actually crossing the Sea of Galilee. He was doing miracles. He was actually calmed the crazy storm on the way over to meet with this man. And he lands on this this bank of the Sea of Galilee, and there was the man who needed healing of the mind. And in Mark 5 verse 2, it says, when Jesus climbed out of the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit came out from the tombs to meet him. And so we can see it's not just mental issues, it's actually much more serious than that. There was something that had kind of demonically linked to his life. And I'm not saying that all mind problems are spiritual, but certainly for this man, it had become spiritual. And it says in verse 3 that the man lived in the burial caves and could no longer be restrained, right? So he's living in amongst the graves, all right? Even he couldn't be restrained, even with chains. In fact, whenever he was put into chains and shackles, as he often was, so they had tried to chain this guy up, he would snap the chains from his wrists and smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to subdue him. So he almost had this demonic, supernatural strength. And I'm kind of picturing the scene from the first Hulk movie. You know, the Incredible Hulk, one of the Marvel movies, and where he first starts transforming into that crazy green guy. And, you know, like the fear of the people in the room with this super strong, crazy, angry guy. Well, that's this picture of this poor guy, except this guy was actually naked, all right, and homeless, and you know, he'd been there for years, and so it says that day and night, he wandered among the burial caves and in the hills, howling and cutting himself with sharp stones. Let me tell you, church, mind problems are not from God. Cutting, self-harm, eating disorders, addictions, panic attacks, there is a war for our minds, and these things are not from God. And while the devil cannot read your mind, he cannot control your mind, he can certainly have an influence on our mind. And he knows, he's smart. He knows that if he can influence our mind, if he can influence in here, then he can influence out here. Because who we are in here becomes who we are out there. But the good news is the reverse is also true, right? You know, in Uno, don't you love that reverse card? The reverse is true. If Jesus can heal our mind, then he can change our whole life. And that's my second point, is that when our minds transform, we transform. Romans 12 verse 2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. We are transformed by the renewing of our mind. If we want to be transformed, if we want our life to improve, if we want our marriage to get better, if we want our workplace relationships to get better, if we want to get stronger in our finances, whatever it is, we need to start in the mind. And this renewing of the mind obviously is not automatic, because Paul is saying in Romans, don't conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, it's something that we have to actually do. He's telling us, you've got to renew your mind, guys. You've got to get new thinking. Come out of the stinking thinking and get into God's thinking. You see, when we come to Jesus, it says that he takes out our heart of stone and we get given a heart of flesh. It says that in Ezekiel. So right now, for believers, hey, you watching this right now, wherever you are, the Bible says that if you follow Jesus, he's given you a new heart, right? And you know that new heart. You want to obey Jesus. You want to live a life of victory. There are good desires in your heart. But the problem is, your mind still stays the same when we come to Jesus. We actually have to work on renewing our mind. We have to work on it. I remember when I first came to Lifehouse Church, I was about 22 years old, and I'd been going to church my whole life. I was a Christian for as long as I remember. I don't even remember when I got saved exactly. I gave my life to Jesus at an early age, and I was surrounded by God, and I had a relationship with him. But the problem was, even though I had a new heart, I had an old mind. I hadn't worked on renewing my mind. And I remember one time when I asked one of my good friends, his name is Dan. Hi, Dan, if you're watching today. And I asked Dan, he was one of my leaders at the time. And I asked him for feedback. I said, Dan, how am I doing? Can you tell me, like, I thought I was doing pretty good at church and I was kind of changing and God was growing me. And he encouraged me, but he also said, Rich, you're also pretty negative. And I was like, oh, come on. And it was a bit of a wake-up call for me because I didn't think I was negative. I was definitely negative, okay? Sometimes even our Australian culture can be negative. And I actually thought, if I give up my negativity, I'm not going to be funny anymore. I'm going to lose all my humor. Like, there goes all my cynical, sarcastic, negative humor. Like, I'm not going to be funny anymore. Anyway, I was almost holding on to the old thinking, but I knew in that moment, I don't want to be a negative person. I've met negative people. I don't want to be one of those people. And I made a decision. I'm going to keep pursuing Jesus. I want more. I want to retrain my mind. I want to renew my mind so that I can be more like Jesus, who I believe was not a negative person. So it is true. We can have Jesus in our life, but not yet be walking in full victory because we're not working on our minds. So transformation in our lives begins with transformation in our minds. So we need to train our minds. How do we do that? The old switcheroo, okay? You take your old thoughts and you replace them with God's thoughts, all right? Isn't that genius? Philippians 4 verse 8 says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. What are you thinking about? I wasn't thinking about good things. I wasn't thinking about the things of God, the calling that God has on my life, the mission that he's put me on. I wasn't thinking of his goodness, his grace. I wasn't thinking of what he had done for me, his promises for healing, his promises for victory. How do we get his thinking in our minds? Well, I can think of a few ways. Journaling. Journaling is simply getting God's word into our heart every day, getting God's thoughts and replacing our thoughts with God's thoughts, writing it down so we don't forget God's thoughts, so that we're putting it into our heart. Come on, this is journaling. That's why we love it here at Lifehouse. I think this is the best way, if I could give you one way, this is the best way of getting God's thoughts and getting your stinking thinking out. Another great way is church. Come on, why do we go to church every week? Why do we make church a priority of our life and not just something that we go to when we have a free Sunday, when we don't have other family commitments? Why is church a priority? Because we need to be around good people. We need to be in God's house. We need to be hearing messages that are encouraging, just like this, that are gonna help replace our stinking thinking that the world reinforces all week, that our social media, that our workplace challenges, that the people around us at work, or maybe even negative family members who we love, but they're just negative. We get that all week. We only get a couple of hours each week to be in church and be with some good people. Connect group. We get new thinking. We discuss God's word, how we can get God's word into our life and change our thinking and walk it out. Practical application. We discuss it in a group. It's powerful. We pray for each other in that group. Praise and worship. Hey, you know, sometimes people think, oh, those praise songs, I might just skip those. You know, I'm not too happy clappy. I might just come at the very end of worship and then just be here for the message. You're missing out. You're missing out on the power of praise and worship. We are singing praises to God. We are declaring those words over our lives and our situations. This is filling our mind with God's thoughts. Praise and worship is powerful. It's not just singing, it's declaring these things over our life. Never underestimate the power of these simple commitments, these simple things that we talk about so often in church life. Journaling, show up to church, go to a connect group, praise God. Like, these things actually reprogram us. There's no secret here. There's no secret, like, pastor's recipe where, oh, the pastors, they know really how to do this. And no, we talk about it every week. It's the basics. In fact, Pastor Rod often talks about it being like just good hygiene, brushing your teeth, right? We don't have to brush our teeth. You can go a few days without brushing your teeth. Maybe it'll be okay. You might not get any cavities. It might be a bit, you might have a bit of a stinky mouth, but you know, it might be okay. But if you do that long enough, you're going to have some real problems. And so these things, look, going to church, prioritizing church, being in a connect group, praising and worshiping God, journaling, you don't have to do it, but these are going to build health into your life. It's spiritual hygiene, and they really are the secret to keeping a healthy mind, to renewing our mind every day. And this poor man, he was actually well beyond this point, right? There was no healthy habits that this guy could employ because he was already out of his mind. There were spiritual forces already working in his life. And he runs up to Jesus when he sees Jesus get off that boat. And it says in verse 6, when Jesus was still some distance away, the man saw him, ran to meet him, and bowed low before him. And I just want to say that mental challenges, mind problems, spiritual forces, all of these must bow at the feet of Jesus. We fear no spiritual power. We fear no mind problem because we have Jesus, and greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. And so this poor man with this evil spirit come and bows before Jesus, bows at his feet, and it says with a shriek, he screams, "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus? Son of the Most High God, in the name of God, I beg you, don't torture me." He says this amazing, amazing line here. He says, "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus?" I'm so grateful that Jesus interfered with my life. I'm so grateful that Jesus interfered with my heart and that he's interfered with my mind. And you know, actually just yesterday was my 10th anniversary for when me and my wife started dating, and we were just chatting over the last few days and talking about how different our life could have been if we never started dating. And you know, it was as we thought and we dwelled upon this almost like this parallel universe of when if we never got together and all these different things of if we weren't in our church here at Lifehouse, if we didn't meet here, if God hadn't already worked on us so much before we met each other. It's just a crazy thought to think about where would my life have been if Jesus didn't interfere and if I didn't let him do it. Because Jesus is a gentleman. He's not going to force himself on you. If you don't want to change, he'll let you stay as you are. He'll love you. But come on, we gotta let Jesus interfere. Get excited about Jesus coming in and doing a work on us, renewing our mind. And this poor man, like I said, he was beyond the point of renewing his own mind through these things. He needed a supernatural miracle from Jesus. He needed a healing touch. And in verse 8, it says, "For Jesus had already said to the spirit, 'Come out of the man, you evil spirit.'" And I love that before Jesus actually engaged with the guy, he'd already commanded for the spirit to come out of him. And that's the heart of Jesus, is to heal. That's the heart of Jesus, to set us free. The heart of Jesus to touch our minds and to bring right thinking. And it says he'd already said it. And I want to tell you that Jesus has already done it. Has he already healed you? Well, he's already paid for your healing. It's called the cross, right? Every time we take communion, we celebrate two things, and for two reasons. We've got the blood, we drink that juice, and we thank him for his forgiveness. And then there's the other one, the bread, the body of Jesus. We thank him for his healing, his body that was broken so that we could be healed. We learned about that last week, physical healing, but it's not just physical healing, it's healing of the mind too. We believe that Jesus has paid for our healing, healing of your mind. Jesus has already purchased it on the cross, and all we need to do is claim it. And I believe that just like this man, Jesus has already said that over your life. You're at the beginning of a process of Jesus healing you, and that could be instant. I'm believing it's going to be, or maybe over time, God's going to help you renew your mind as you make great decisions to prioritize Him and get God's thoughts into your mind. Now, I want to go to this next scripture where we see what happens where essentially Jesus is telling these spirits to leave this poor man. And I live in Hong Kong, all right? And in Hong Kong, we love our pork, all right? We've got those steamed pork buns. We love that. We eat pork and rice all the time. And so I'm going to disappoint the people who really love their bacon today, because in Mark 5 verse 10, it says the evil spirits begged Jesus again and again not to send them to some distant place. But there happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding on the hillside nearby. Send us into those pigs, the spirits begged. Let us enter them. And I want you to know that these mind problems, these evil spirits, they had no choice. They had to go. They knew they had to go, right? They had to bow at the feet of Jesus. They had no choice. They had to leave. Because when Jesus is around, the devil must go. Mind problems must go. Verse 13, so Jesus gave them permission. The evil spirits came out of the man and entered the pigs. And the entire herd of about 2,000 pigs plunged down the steep hillside into the lake and drowned in the water. And I'm just imagining this dramatic scene of these pigs squealing as they run down this hill and land in the water and drown themselves. I mean, it's shocking. I'm sure pork prices were through the roof after this, after the whole pork farm was killed. And the farmers would have been terrified. And obviously they've gone and told everyone about what's happened to their pigs. And so we come to this point where this man is supernaturally set free from these mind problems. And I really want to encourage you. Yes, we believe in medicine. Yes, we believe that mental health professionals can help us. I would never ever tell someone, you need to go off your meds, just have faith. No, we don't believe that. God can certainly work through doctors and hospitals and medicine and all of that. But at the end of the day, our hope is in Jesus. Our hope is that Jesus can heal our minds. And the supernatural power of Jesus that He purchased for us with His own death on a cross and His resurrection, this is available to you and me today. And this man was healed by the supernatural power of God. And 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 to 5, talks about this incredible advantage we have as believers. That yes, we too, like the world, we can have help, we can have medicine, we can do all of that. But the weapons we fight with are not just the weapons of the world. No, on the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And here we go. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Every wrong thought, we can take it captive and make it obedient to Jesus. No thought, no mental issue is more powerful than the power of Jesus. Even if you've been struggling with that anxiety problem for years, you've been struggling with depression for years, phobias, eating disorders, OCD, trauma from the past, addictions, sleep disorders, whatever it is, it all must be obedient to Christ. And when Jesus says for it to leave, it must leave. Jesus can heal you in an instant. Come on, give the Lord a hand. We believe in healing here at Lifehouse Church. We believe in healing. His power is here. I hope you're encouraged. This man was healed in an instant. Not the pigs. I feel sorry for the pigs. But this man was healed. And Mark 5 verse 15 says a crowd soon gathered around Jesus. They saw the man who'd been possessed by the legion of demons, and he was sitting there fully clothed, perfectly sane, and they were all afraid. Perfectly sane. His mind was completely healed. In a moment, in an instant, instantly healed with one word from Jesus. I hope you're praying for your healing. I hope you're not treating that depression like just some little pet that's around your house and he's been here for a while and, oh, he's just my depression and yeah, I've been depressed for a long time. No. Come on. Let's believe for the healing of Jesus. Let's pray for the healing of Jesus. When you go to your journal, I'm believing for Jesus for my healing. When you worship, I'm believing for Jesus for my healing. Jesus is going to heal my mind. Jesus is healing my mind. He paid for it on the cross. We claim it. We step into it. Don't stop praying until you've got it. And this man was so grateful. Can you imagine it? He's had his mind healed. He's perfectly sane. He's sitting there thinking about maybe the years that he's lost, but also the opportunity ahead of him. Maybe he can go and maybe see his family again. Maybe he can go and, if he's single, have a future with a marriage. Maybe he could have kids. Maybe he could go and do the things that he loves to do. He's starting to have a whole future open up for him, because when you transform the mind, you transform the life. His whole life has been transformed in a moment. And he wants to follow Jesus. He's grateful. He's full of gratefulness to Jesus. And in verse 19, he's trying to actually go and follow Jesus. He wants to get back in that boat with Jesus. And Jesus says to him, no, go home to your family, mate. I think he said mate. Anyway, and tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful that he has been. And so the man started off to visit the 10 towns. He's going all over the place of that region, and he began to proclaim the great things that Jesus had done for him, and everyone was amazed at what he told him. And I love how this man moves from real brokenness into healing and a sense of mission, of sharing the news of Jesus. I just can't keep this to myself. God has changed me, and he can change you too. And I want to tell you, as I finish up this message, that we have a lot of healings happen in Lifehouse Church. And there's stories from all across our movement, stories of miracles all the time. But one of the most common types of healings that we see is healing of the mind. I think because there are so many mind issues these days, mental health is a real challenge for so many people. And yet in Lifehouse Church, we see people getting breakthroughs all the time, people getting set free, people getting set free from their past, set free from, nightmares and sleeping disorders and all this kind of stuff. And it's happening all the time. And we don't always hear the stories, because a lot of it is very, very personal. But I just want you to know that people are being healed all the time, and you can be too. Go to Jesus, and we're going to go to him right now. Let me pray. Lord, we give you our minds. We need help in our minds. We need help in our thinking. And I pray that, Lord, you would help us to make great decisions. Lord, we're determined to build healthy habits, Lord, of getting into your word, journaling, being in church, making church a priority in our life, being around great people, Lord. We want to be a part of connect groups and Lord, just simple, basic things, Lord, worship, praise, things that are going to replace our thinking with your thinking, Lord. I pray that you would help us to renew our mind, but Lord, also more than that, Lord, touch us, your supernatural touch right now to anyone who needs healing of the mind, Lord. No matter what degree, whether that's a small issue or something they've been struggling with for years, Jesus, set them free. Your healing power, Holy Spirit, touch them. In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome. I believe that God set some people free. I believe that Jesus has touched many of you right now. And I want to finish with a final prayer, because maybe there's some people right now in the room or wherever you are, and you don't know Jesus, or you are not yet following him. This is your chance to do that right now, because he died on a cross for our sins, to forgive us, to give us a new life. He rose again. He's a living God. He's all powerful, and he wants a relationship with you. He's changed my life. He's given us eternal life when we die. You can have all of it with the free gift of his grace right now. So if you want to receive that grace, you want to start a relationship with him, why don't you pray this prayer we've put up on the screen? Why don't you read it out with me right now, and he's going to come powerfully into your life. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you for forgiving me. Come into my life, and I will follow you. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm so excited for your personal decision to follow Jesus. Make sure you get connected here at Lifehouse Church, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening today. We hope that God was able to speak to you through the message. If you consider Lifehouse your church home, or if you were blessed by these messages, then why not consider generously supporting us? Simply go to mylifehouse.com/give and find the giving way that works best for you. Have a blessed day, and we'll catch you all next time.